Even after the disciples had abandoned Jesus and his suffering, he still has a mission for them. And he still has a mission for us who have gathered here this morning and those of you that are at home, as we are known as his forgiven children. Our theme this morning is the risen Jesus even sends out screw-ups. I was a little nervous coming up with that title, but I thought it fit me perfectly, so I was going to go ahead and use it. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word from God through which the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus is also from John chapter 21. After this, Jesus appeared again to his disciples, this time at the Tiberias Sea, the Sea of Galilee. This is how he did it. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the brother Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. Simon Peter announced, "I'm going fishing." The rest of them replied, "We're going with you." And they went out and got into the boat. And they caught nothing that night. When the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to them, "Good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens." They did what he said. All of a sudden, there were so many fish in it, they weren't strong enough to pull it in. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Master." When Simon Peter realized that it was the Master, he threw on some clothes, for he was stripped for work, and dove into the sea. The other disciples came in by boat, for they weren't far from land, 100 yards or so, pulling along the net full of fish. When they got out of the boat, they saw a fire laid with fish and bread cooking on it. Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you've caught." Simon Peter joined them and pulled the net to shore, 153 big fish. And even with all those fish, the net did not rip. Jesus said, "Breakfast is ready." Not one of the disciples dare ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Master. Jesus then took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had shown himself alive to the disciples since being raised from the dead. Well, my dear friends in Christ, fellow saints washed clean in the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, think about it. If you were there, if you were one of the disciples that was waiting for Jesus, what might have been going through your minds? All this waiting at the Sea of Galilee was as taking a long time. If you remember back, the angel had said, "Tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you in Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Here they were. But now what was going to happen? And if we had been one of them, what kind of nervous fear might have paced relentlessly in our hearts? If you were Peter, who had denied Jesus 3 times, what was he going to say to you? How about Thomas? Thomas had doubted the testimony of our Lord, and the other disciples too, dismissing them as fools and liars. He had demanded to touch Jesus himself, and he still would have been blinded by unbelief if Jesus had not appeared again the week after Easter, inviting him to touch those wounds. 3 years earlier, the disciple Nathanael had boldly declared that Jesus was the Son of God and King of the Jews. Now he had abandoned his God and King in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what about James and John, those sons of Zebedee? They had wanted to be sitting at the right and left hand of God in his kingdom, and claimed that they could drink his cup with him, but they couldn't even stay awake that night in that garden. And later on, they fled, just like the others had done. But Jesus came. "Peace, peace be with you," he said on both of those Sunday nights when he appeared to that group before. Peace with God. For that was why he died. That is why he came. To pay even for their sins, to reconcile them to God through his own sacrifice. And so the Lamb of God was slaughtered for them. He was also slaughtered for us. But even in such divine forgiveness, how could they ever be suitable witnesses for the Lord? After all, they had been with him for 3 years around the clock, 24 hours a day, and yet they had failed so miserably. Yes, even Easter night, Jesus again said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." But Jesus had never failed in any part of that mission that the Father had sent him on to this earth to accomplish. They had already messed up so many times. How could Jesus ever send out screw-ups like them? Well, what message would this catch of fish bring home to the disciples in our scriptures for today? Here we find Peter. He has to be doing something. So what does he decide to do? "I'm going to go fishing." And the others join him. It turned out to be a wasted night. Their nets caught nothing. Now it's early morning, and there's a stranger on the beach, and he tells them to throw the net on the right side. Well, those of you that are fishermen know it's the wrong time, the wrong place. And what difference does it make what side of the boat you throw the net over? But what do we have to lose? It is something to do. And so many fish fill the net that they can't get it back into the boat. Only once before has something like this happened to them. As we know, it was very early in Jesus' ministry. Jesus had been teaching the crowds who were on the shore from Simon Peter's boat on that same lake that he was there that day. And after he had finished, he told Peter to put out into the deep water and let down his nets to catch. And he caught so many fish, this time the nets began to break. And he signaled for his partners, James and John, those Zebedee's sons, in the other boat to help him bring it in. But both boats began to sink since they were so full. And we know at that time Peter felt such unworthiness in the presence of his Lord Jesus. And he falls at his feet and he says, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." But Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Since that same Jesus had done the same miracle on the same lake, might those same words still apply even now, even after what he had done? And yes, they certainly did. Don't be afraid. Rather, be at peace. Why, Peter? Because your sins are forgiven. And yes, I am still sending you to catch men. My mission for you has not changed. Rather than fishermen, you will be fishers of men. And if Peter missed that miracle, Jesus made it very clear a little while later to him when he tells Peter three times, "Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep." Yes, Jesus sends out screw-ups. Even screw-ups like Peter, who denied him three times, and like the other disciples. Well, we can't just keep blaming the disciples today. How about us? How have we screwed up? The Lord is also sending out and has sent out you and me, but how often haven't we screwed up? Maybe we failed to speak to someone about our Lord Jesus that we should have said something. Or sometimes we say too much when Christian love needs to listen. How often have we spoken harshly when a gentle word was needed, or spoken a gentle word rather than confronting sin for what it is? How often has wanting to look good or have others like us kept us from honoring our God and His truth in the eyes of others who don't really and fully hold on to it? How many acts of Christian kindness have we left undone as being, "Well, it's not convenient for me at this time," or "more suitable for a later time"? How often have we focused on ourselves rather than on sending and serving our family or our church or our neighbors or even our Lord? In how many ways have we denied our Savior? Probably many times. But what has Jesus done? What does he say to us to remind us and remove us of our guilt also? We have screwed up. We can try to avoid thinking about it by busying ourselves with our work, the chores, maybe our family. For the kids, it's their school, sports, music, TV, games, hunting, yes, even fishing. Just like Peter did. Or rather, dear friends, hear the risen Savior speaking to us. Peace be with you. See my hands and side. I was pierced for you. I am the Lamb of God, slaughtered for you. Here is my body given for you. Here is my blood that has been shed for you. Eat, drink, believe, for you are forgiven. Be at peace with God, for you, by my death, you have been reconciled. And so what does he send us out to do? And he sends us out as well, screw-ups though we have been. He sends us out as his witnesses. For who better to witness than those who know God's forgiveness? Because we are sinners. Sinners like you and me, who know how completely devastating our sin is, and who rejoice in the unsurpassing richness of God's grace in Christ that forgives even sinners like you and me. Think about Saul. He became the Apostle Paul. Could we prepare ourselves maybe to be called a pastor or a Lutheran school teacher, a staff member, or even a missionary? All of us are unworthy of such a calling, but Jesus even sends out screw-ups. How else might Jesus send us as witnesses? Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher, maybe an elder, or even an evangelist. But don't forget, Jesus' love shines through you to others. And if we feel timid or afraid or self-conscious because we know how we have screwed up in the past, we have a loving and forgiving Lord. Remember, Jesus even sends out screw-ups. Well, what promise is attached to us through God's word as we go out about his business? Well, the results are going to depend entirely on Jesus. The disciples had used their years of experience and their skills all night long to catch fish. Well, what was the result of that night? Empty nets. Jesus simply makes a promise. Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. The result? There were so many fish, they couldn't haul in the net. Elder Ken, how many fish was that?
153.
There are certain, you know, people think, well, that means has some big significance. Well, it isn't. It's just an abundance, and it's abundance of fish. And Jesus allows us to be a part of that abundance when we share his word. As we cast our nets out, and with deeds of love and words of the gospel, the result does not depend on our skill or our talent, just as it didn't for those disciples, those fishermen that night, or the expertise that we might have, though we certainly do want to do faithfully use the abilities that God has given to each of us. But the results don't depend on us. They depend on Jesus. And so we cast our nets, and he fills them. We plant the seed. He makes it grow. We speak his word. He sends the Holy Spirit, for he has promised, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. What a wonderful promise we have. So why are we urged to do our best even though Jesus uses screw-ups? Well, what a blessing that our Lord chooses us to be his witnesses. He chooses even us to testify about the great things that he has done by his death and his resurrection. He chooses us and he sends us out even as his messengers, proclaiming repentance and also the forgiveness of sins. He could have chosen so many others or ways to do it. After all, he really doesn't need us, just like he didn't need the disciples to bring in that catch of fish. Why? Because he already had fish on the shore, and he had bread cooking on a charcoal fire. He who could feed 5,000 could certainly feed those seven disciples that morning. But he stoops down to involve even you and me in this great work of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. He even uses screw-ups. So our risen Lord even sends us out. That certainly isn't an excuse to give a half-hearted effort either and not do our best, figuring, well, why should we try so hard? Jesus will fix it anyway, even if I do screw up. Well, it certainly isn't a reason for spiritual laziness or indifference on our part, thinking Jesus doesn't really need me, so I can just do my own thing, and his work will get done by somebody else. Those thoughts and attitudes flow from our old nature. But we are, as we gather here this morning, a new creation. We are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Faith hears Jesus' promises. I have died for you. I have risen. You are forgiven. Be at peace with God. And so faith then rejoices. It rejoices to hear our Lord say to us, as my blood-bought people, as my forgiven children, you are my witnesses. Do you mean us? Even us? After our failures, after our screw-ups, after our messes, you still want us to be your witnesses? His answer is a resounding yes. Yes, I send out even you as my witnesses. And so this morning, during this third appearance after the resurrection, he performs this other miracle and serves a host as a meal for all the disciples that were there. He shows once again his servant heart, and that servant heart teaches us as his followers his way of doing things. We bless and we serve one another because our gracious Savior continues to bless and to serve us. And so this morning, those of you at home and those gathered here, let us gladly share the good news that Jesus is God's Son, and that by faith in his name, we have life and salvation. And so we ask, God, give us eternal peace and also the boldness through the Holy Spirit. And God's people said, Amen. And may that peace of God now that surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and risen Savior. Amen.